This is the Zach and Zuri Show.
Welcome. Today's podcast clip comes from an interview with Professor Akant Veer from the University of Canterbury. Cool. So whereabouts did you actually do your undergrad then?
So my undergrad was in Hamilton, New Zealand. So it's kind of about halfway up the North Island at the University of Waikato. And that's just where my family settled. I mean, I grew up in the UK, moved to New Zealand when I was 15, and settled in Hamilton. My dad promised us this idea of moving to New Zealand. We thought this island paradise. We ended up in flipping Hamilton, which is kind of the butt of every joke in New Zealand, is the dullest place sort of thing.
No.
And so we ended up there. I'm like, this is not what I signed up for. But the university was very good.
Stunningly gorgeous. So you're telling me this is the anomaly where it's just like, okay.
Yeah, yes, even the photos of Hamilton look good, but living there was not what I had signed up for, I don't think. But I fell in love with Hamilton, as you do with anywhere, you fall in love with them. So I did my undergrad at Waikato, spent a couple of years working in the real world, and then went back to do my PhD at the University of Auckland, which is in the North Island as well. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you didn't do a master's by research or anything in between?
No, I did an honours. So did my undergrad with honours and did a research component as part of that. So that gave me entry into the PhD program rather than the HDR process, yeah.
Yeah. So I had a bit of a, what do they call it, sliding door sort of moment in that way. So we don't do honours here at the University of South Australia anymore. So I was the second to last cohort who did it. And then I think Kelly Vaughan might have been the last cohort who did it. And so we now transition straight from undergraduate to master's by research for 2 years and then into a PhD.
Gotcha.
So we're slightly different structure there.
Yeah. Now. And we've done similar thing here now, but we're thinking of actually going back to honors just because signing up for 2 years for some people is like, that's too much of a commitment. I've just done 3 years with you. I don't want to do 5 years with you. Maybe an extra 8 months, 9 months is enough and then transition, but we'll see how things go. These things go in cycles.
Yeah, and there's also then the less burden of getting a scholarship. So if you do honours, it's kind of like a coursework component where you take on help debt or HECS debt. Do you have an equivalent of that in New Zealand, actually? Like, so the government will give you almost like a very low interest rate loan to get higher education?
No, we have interest-free loans, completely interest-free loans for all education. Yeah, so as long as you're in New Zealand, you pay zero interest on all loans. And
wow.
So we've gone even more socialist.
Yeah.
So if you're an international student, you can't get a loan. But if you move overseas, you start putting interest on that loan. But otherwise, completely interest free. Yeah.
Okay. So there is a cost, but it's interest free, and then it kicks back repayments when you earn over a certain amount, I'd imagine.
Correct. Okay. So once you earn over like $28,000-$30,000, assigning a portion of your income goes towards that. But because it's interest free, and this is us, I mean, far out, we're in our 40s now. My wife still has a student loan. If we came into money, we would pay off the mortgage a bit more. We wouldn't pay off the student.
Yeah.
It's interest free. There's a great socialist element to it, but also there's no incentive to pay it off quick, if that makes sense.
We used to have it currently is. So ours is based on inflation rates. And that was always great because mortgage interest rates were 6%, 7%, 8%. I think when I first had my first mortgage, I think it was like 9% roughly. And then inflation was like 2, 1.6, maybe 3% on a bad year. Yeah. And then it flipped, right? Money was like dirt cheap, interest rates 2%, and inflation was 7%. So I was extremely relieved that I'd paid off my help debt just before all that happened. It's really interesting to see how that works. Do you find you have higher levels of enrollment as a result?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point, is that it enables people to not only get an education like they would not normally have gone into it, but also not be burdened by debt if they do get an education. Education should not be something that burdens you. It should be something that enables you to do more. And so that was the purpose. It was also announced like 3 months before an election. This is some 15 years ago. So it was definitely a bit of a bribe. Another thing, but I mean, again, this is probably not the soap opera, not the agenda of this podcast, but our first year of undergraduate education is 100% free. No one pays fees for their first year to enable people to give higher education a go, to try. And if it's not for you, you are not burdened by $10,000, $20,000 worth of debt for 1 year that didn't work for you. So that there was that reason for that as well. Unfortunately, it hasn't translated into higher levels of enrollment from priority groups, you know, first in family groups or people who otherwise wouldn't access it. So hasn't worked the way the government had hoped, but still, you know, it's good that kids aren't being burdened with huge amounts of debt.
Yeah, okay. I would have thought that would have been, obviously the idea behind it all. So we have, I don't know if you know what's going on in Adelaide. So the university that I'm part of, there's, you're not supposed
to... Merge.
Yeah, so it's, yeah. It's not a merger, apparently. It's
whatever. It's a hostile takeover. Let's be fair.
It's a new university. That's the language. But so both of them kind of get dissolved, and a new enterprise gets created, and that's I guess why it's technically not a merger or hostile takeover or whatever. And what the brilliant part about this that I actually quite like is there's an amenity fund or whatever it's called. So the state government's putting away, I think it's $200 billion a year, and wow. or million, sorry. And every year it puts out, you know, $5-6 million that then goes into scholarships that are purely for first in family, low socioeconomic, Aboriginal students. And I mean, that's ideally one of the best things that has come out of what's going on here, is that there's government support to get education into communities who can really use it. I mean, I'm a classic example of where education can change lives. And so that's why I really try to push it on people.
Absolutely. I mean, again, this is not the purpose of this podcast, but my history, my father's father, so my paternal grandfather was the first person in his family, first person in our family to learn how to read and write. You know, he was the first person to go to school, first person to go to high school. He went on to university, became a teacher. He opened up a school back in the village so that other kids can go back to school, blah, blah, blah. My dad was one of the first people in the village to go to university and get a degree. So two generations. I'm a professor at a flipping university from someone who couldn't read and write. You know, that's how transformative education can be. And I think we take it for granted, especially down under, you know, in Australia, New Zealand, where, oh, like 40% of people go to university or something like that. You forget how big a privilege it is with so many millions, billions of people who have no access to education at all. So it's awesome that education can be done and that plans are put in place. Now, this again is not the purpose of this podcast, but we also know from a lot of the work we're doing with our Māori population here and the Indigenous populations, one of the hats I wear is supporting scholarships here at the university, is that money's only one part of it. If you're the only brown person in the class, and I know what it's like being one of a minority going into a class, you do stand out. And so not just saying, here's some money, you're not burdened by money, but actually, here's some support. Let's make a cohort. Let's bring you in together. And let's not culturally tax you for being just you. So let's not ask you for translation. Let's not ask you for blah, blah, blah. Let's not roll you out for every photo shoot. But that only comes when you've got a cohort. That only comes when you have groups together. And that does take time, but it sounds great what you guys are starting and the purpose going forward. But there's plenty more that we're doing over here that we need to keep doing and things like that. So more than happy to grow and learn in that space.
It's so funny. Some of the things that you say like really resonate with stories that I've heard, right? So like my partner, she was the only Indian girl at her school, and you know, she was very high achieving, and so they should have put her on the front cover of their school magazines and stuff, but she knew damn well why they were taking photos of her.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, look, I shouldn't tell this story, but I don't care anymore. You know, but I think it was my first year here at UC, and they said, we'd love to do a photo shoot with you. Could you come with some of your students? I'm like, perfect, done. So I turned up with my master's class, and the photographer pulled me aside and said, Akon, we were hoping you would bring more ethnics. I'm like, ethnics? Yeah. Is this what you call them? I said, because I'm brown, you wanted me to bring brown. I said, yeah, if you could call the ethnic. So I said, I'll just call the ethnic hotline and get them. Anyway, so they were deadly serious, and they had this ridiculously diverse shoot, which didn't represent the university at all, but that's what they wanted to do. And I was the new kid there, so I was trying my best not to be angry at this. And I thought, let's just do this. But we've seen a lot of change over the years. We have grown as an institution. The country has grown. The world has grown over the last 10, 15 years. So it's just natural that this sort of thing happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the world has evolved in a good way, which is great to see.
Hey guys, it's Zach Ainsbury here with just a couple of quick reminders. If you've enjoyed today's podcast, then make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. There are plenty more interviews to come with some of the world's leading marketing academics and practitioners. You do not want to miss these. In the meantime, if you're looking for another way to connect, then follow me on Twitter at Zach Ainsbury. That is ZACANESBURY. For my take on the marketing issues of the day.
That was the Zach Ainsbury Show.